Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Thursday, the 27th of June. Very nice to have you with us on this day. It's we had a lot to talk about. It was, I don't know how many of you got to watch or listen to the debate last night. It was, I thought it was fascinating, and I look forward to hearing the thoughts of our very esteemed panel. Let me go around the room here, introduce everybody. We'd also love to hear from you. Panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. Siena College Professor of Comparative Politics, Vera Akarios-Kelly, is with us. Good morning, Vera. How are you?
Good morning. I'm almost, I was almost shocked that you mentioned my name first.
Well, you're here. You're ready. You're excited.
I guess I was ready.
Yeah.
I looked
that's
excited.
Good. Yeah. I was excited. I think we you have been, over the last several weeks, using different languages.
Right. And, I ran out of languages. I mean, I sort of have to go back to my.
Yeah, well, go learn a new one, will you?
Yeah, I know. I have to work on that. Sorry, gang.
I think it should be Spanish in light of what happened last night.
Yeah.
Buenos días, compañeros. ¿Qué tal todo el mundo? Okay, here we go.
Fran Berman is here, the Edward Hamilton Distinguished Professor of Computer Science at RPI in Troy. Good morning. How are you?
Yes. No programming languages from me this morning. Good morning.
No, good morning. Wonderful to have you here. Rosemary Armeo is with us, investigative journalist. Hello.
Good morning.
Today marks a week that you've been back with us. It's
yeah.
been a nice week.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Very fun. I love it.
And Terry Gibson is here, SUNY New Paltz Communications Professor, former New York State Senator. Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Good morning. I'll be doing my best to communicate in English this morning.
Yes.
Well done. Good start.
We always try that here and usually fail miserably, so we'll give it a shot. Alan Chartok, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm good. You know, we often think about the fact that if you're a waiter in Europe, you know, you speak six languages. And here in the United States of America, if somebody knows a second language, we give them a Congressional Medal of Honor.
Well, that's
Trump
true.
Trump doesn't. Trump only gives them to old golf players. Sorry.
No, you make a point.
Okay. Let me. I was just thinking. Were you talking about Tiger Woods?
I was.
Yeah. Okay. I don't even know that old would be the worst thing we could talk about on Tiger Woods. But okay.
She wasn't his type. They weren't his type.
They weren't his type.
He was innocent.
So give him a medal and move on with it. Well, good morning again, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. So I will make an admission here to start off the conversation. I don't know how much I was looking forward to watching the Democratic debate last night, but I watched it and I... And they're calling
Hello.
In.
We have a call already. Oh, my God.
They're afraid of what you're going to say.
You can make your panel.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
The fun drive's going crazy. I loved it. I thought it was great. I had a great time watching it. I was fascinated by everybody. I thought the conversation was great. I thought everything was really interesting. And I learned a lot about the candidates. I know we can get into go around and just see what people thought about it. But I have to say, I can't wait for tonight because this is just too much fun. I just think it's just really.
I kept getting them all mixed up. I had my son on text saying, "Okay, which one is Delaney?" And he'd send me a picture of it. I wish they'd put their names on. There's too many.
Now, the one nice thing the Times was doing, and this helped me with the New York Times, when somebody with a question would then go to them,
right.
A little pop up would come up.
That's a great.
A little
yeah.
ghost like sort of a Patronus would come up and remind you of who they were.
And I loved de Blasio. He surprised me.
Really?
You loved him?
I thought he did great.
He was an absolute jerk.
Uh-huh.
I thought
Michael Moore picked him as the best of the night, the surprise of the
night.
Well,
I have to disagree.
That's from jerk to jerk, though, isn't it?
I'm with Vera.
I thought he nailed it on several things.
Okay, so let's go around. Alan, what were your overall thoughts and reactions to the debate last night?
Well, I'm going to have to pass, and I'll tell you why. I didn't see it.
Okay,
and the reason
that's all right.
I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, well,
if
that
you know.
Clearly
and
doesn't
so,
work.
So it didn't work. So I watched all the news reports about it. And what I found interesting is people were all over the place declaring winners and losers. In other words, it didn't appear that everybody said, oh, well, you know, Corey was the best or this one was the best. Yeah. No, it was all over
the place. I think part of the reason for that is everybody is waiting for tonight to see who the key candidates are that emerge tonight, and then they'll reflect back on what happened yesterday and then sort of reassess.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no one made a big error, like say, okay, that knocks them out. There wasn't that either.
Really? I think I would pick somebody who knocked himself out.
Yeah, me too.
Who would that be?
Who would it be?
Beto O'Rourke.
Beto O'Rourke.
He was so bad.
He looked naive.
Superficial.
He looked like he just couldn't get his head around.
I don't even think he's qualified
to
run for Senate in Texas, much less President
Seriously,
of the United States.
Seriously, I'm like, go back to city council, dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude.
You didn't feel that?
I didn't think he was powerful or a winner. I thought Cory Booker did great. Elizabeth Warren came out weak. She let all the tall men, loud men, speak over her and didn't assert herself enough. But I would not have called any of them knocked out completely.
See, I think Elizabeth Warren was very strong. I like the fact that she did not attack. She just focused on her policies. I was never really a fan of Elizabeth Warren, but she is among my top people now.
Well, I concur with that.
I thought that she, you know, I had thought going into the debate, she's too polarizing, she's too this, she's too that. But she came off to me as someone who had real ideas and not just these platitudes. Someone who had real policy thoughts, someone who made sense.
And so
she really impressed me, too.
I was very impressed. And I was also impressed by the fact that everyone was basically following her lead. She was the lead on everything because she had actually had
thought about it
and had things. And someone, I think it was someone in the Times I was following, I had a lot of screens up last night of Twitter and seeing what was going on there and the various conversations that the Post was doing in the New York Times, but I think somebody in the Times made the point of she's the only one who seems that she wants to be president because she actually has ideas to change the course as opposed to just because they want to be president.
And by the way, the quick and dirty polls are showing her, you know, no matter what anybody thought about her not being aggressive enough, as the winner.
Okay, yeah, can I just object, as the minority here, like to the terms winners and losers? I mean, this was really about, and sorry, Alan, but everybody else is using it too. It's like, this is really about a discussion of the issues. It's about sort of culling our ideas about these candidates down to, you know, some short list eventually. And, you know, some people did well, some people didn't do well, some people could have done better, but... You know, this notion that this is all about winning and losing, you know, rather than the issues or the public good. I don't know.
But you have to winnow down the field, right?
What?
You have to winnow down the field, though.
You have to winnow down the field. It's true. But, you know, this notion about winners and I don't know. It goes against the ex-hippie in me.
Well, I think Fran's right. Even though she was correcting me, I think Fran is right. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be winners and losers. However, there's a big difference between shouldn't be and is. And it is about winners and losers because somebody is going to be chosen to run for president of the United States.
Well, and it gives us the, you know, the opportunity to talk about, you know, who did well and who didn't. All right, Terry, go. Because there's one thing that I think is missing in this conversation. Let's see if you fill it in. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say that I think it's important to look at this through the eyes of the people that live, the voters especially, that live in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, because they're going to have a huge impact on who the president is. And I was looking for the candidate that could appeal to that group of people. And I'm just not sure I found it. I'm really excited tonight to see if that candidate comes out. But to me last night, I just didn't feel like there was a clear front runner. I guess if I had to pick one, it would be Elizabeth Warren, because she does bring to the table an enormous amount of knowledge, and she's very good at telling us what she plans to do. I was very disappointed with Beto. You know, one of the things you learn when you're running for office, which I've done a few times, is you do have options when answering questions. And it was interesting to see how many people actually chose to answer the question they were asked and how many people chose to answer the question that they wanted to answer. Mm-hmm. And that's two very different things. I thought Beto failed miserably at either one of those. He just always brought something that nobody really asked for or weren't necessarily interested in hearing.
Gibson for president.
I have to say, the one thing we haven't talked about, and it's the one who came out to me as somebody, not as a front runner, but somebody who really impressed me, and that was Julian Castro.
Yeah.
I thought he did a great job.
He did.
Well, on many issues, I thought from the very beginning he did a very good job.
He was very policy
oriented. I know you're concerned. You had some concerns about his Spanish, but
you know what? In essence, I really liked Julian Castro on a number of issues. He was much more detailed than I had expected, which I really liked.
Yeah,
very smart. And I could clearly see why he served, I think it was as transportation secretary in the Obama administration. He brings a lot of experience to the table, and it came through.
But just very quickly, the vice presidency is at stake here. A lot of people here are not only auditioning for president, but they're auditioning for vice president.
Uh-huh.
And the demographics are very important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think it has to be a woman, but if it isn't, then it could well be.
Wait. Why does it have to be a woman? Why can't a woman be the first name on the ticket, Alan?
Well, no. I mean,
it could be both.
Yeah, that's right. It could be a woman and a woman, Joe. Thank you very much for pointing that out.
Yeah, you gave him a way out.
I'm sorry.
I had him, and you gave him the way out.
Yes, you had me. You had me all the way from Fire Island.
Oh.
I want to just say that Castro becomes a very attractive candidate for vice president because of the Hispanic background and because that may well be the demographic that wins or loses this election.
But now, what about Castro? Position on immigration that he really staked out his claim on last night.
He really said, I want the others to sign on with this.
And so
he was very clear.
He was very clear about it. But do we think that that position of treating coming
asylum
into the country
seekers.
as a civil case or as a criminal case, do you think that plays well in Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania?
I don't know, but it made perfect sense to me. I mean, it was the first time I had really heard somebody explain it as to why we are separating these parents mm-hmm. and children and why it doesn't make any sense mm-hmm. at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he really impressed me, too. And the people that impressed me the most last night were experienced. Their thoughts and policies were evidence-based. They were realistic. You know, it isn't just mm-hmm. like we're going to turn the switch and the country's going to change, because it's not. And, you know, he was one of them. In my top three or four, he was definitely in my top three or four.
And one of the things that he explained well is, why don't we make a distinction anymore between human smugglers, sex traffickers, or drug smugglers,
mm-hmm.
and desperate people who are crossing the border without papers. Now, clearly this is something that has to be resolved, but it shouldn't be treated equally to a drug dealer's offenses, mm-hmm. in my view. And I think he clearly articulated that. Let's figure out how we deal with this question of undocumented border crossings. It's a different category. It should not be punished in a similarly to a major crime.
And Elizabeth Warren did that with guns, which I liked, which is, you know, it's a nuanced world. And a handgun and a gun, an AK-47, are two different kinds mm-hmm. of guns. You might need two different kinds of rules. A hunting rifle is different.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know much about guns. But, you know, these are very nuanced questions,
you know,
and they're used for different ways.
We have to go.
You expect the, you know, leader to mm-hmm. understand that.
Right.
Sorry, Rosemary.
You know, and sorry.
there's so much to say.
I know. I'm bursting here. You know, in addition to the vice presidency, there are other lesser jobs mm-hmm. at stake that would still raise people. And I think there was a lot of auditioning for that. I think Inslee, who I don't has think has a chance on a national stage, but mm-hmm. he brought global warming out.
He did.
Which was absent totally from the 2016 mm-hmm. election mm-hmm. and debates. He brought it to the fore and made others talk about it. I applaud that. Ryan, who, again, not impressive at all, but he talked about the workers probably the most compellingly. Mm-hmm. And that's why I like de Blasio so much. He talked about urban poverty and the needs of cities, which mm-hmm. is hugely important at a time when all the focus seems to be on these Rust Belt workers. And yes, I know it's all important. That's how we lost 2016. But does the whole election have to really be aimed at them, Terry? I don't want their whole agenda.
Well, wait a minute. Go ahead.
I think that the Rust Belt workers and voters have a huge impact on the election. I mean, I think their votes could very well determine who's going to be president. So if you're not speaking to them, I'm not sure you're going to be able to win the race in the general election.
Well, so can, you know, evangelicals. I don't want their mm-hmm. whole agenda either. Mm-hmm.
And I want us to remember that voters in Pennsylvania and Michigan and various other states,
Wisconsin,
are quite diverse.
Right.
And I think they are looking at issues ranging from equal pay to global warming to the future of their children's education. So I think it was really good for those voters to listen to the variety of perspectives and emphases that were offered last night.
Hey, we have a minute. Tulsi Gabbard.
Ugh.
I mean, her hair. How does she get those gray wings on the sides?
I mean, it. You know, she.
I kind of like them.
I did. I was like that. I'm sorry. I know that's like really kind of petty.
Comments you can make that we can.
Right. Yeah, no. I
did not think that she said anything that hurt her.
No.
I didn't think she said anything that set her back. I think that she was very good about only adding where she thought she could make some points and not just interjecting just for the sake of speaking.
So
she seemed narrow, though.
She was like an automaton, I thought. She was speaking like a rehearsed puppet to me. She had no mobility to respond to new issues. She was very good on the few lines she had because she had clearly articulated them 100 times before.
Good
not
point.
Convincing.
So she was
overall.
Very prepared.
All right. Well, so
one
darn.
We have a lot
darn.
More to talk about. We'll be
darn.
Back right after this.
I...
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and our panel discussion. We have letters. We know there are more coming, and we welcome yours too. Panel@WAMC.org. Panel@WAMC.org. What did you think of the debate last night? Do you have any other things that you would like to talk to us about? Panel@WAMC.org. Let's go to this letter from Steve, who says, how nice it was to hear complete sentences last night and no obvious signs of a personality disorder.
Yeah.
Oh, ideas. And that was nice, too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Does anyone know what kind of ratings it got? Is anybody aside from the roundtable participants watching?
I have no idea. All I know is that everyone that I know was watching it last night because I was texting with about 50 people at one time. Right? I think the junkies were watching it, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of the...
I mean, even I think politically interested people were watching.
I think certainly Democrats...
Yeah.
Interested Democrats were watching.
I agree.
The president was bored.
The president was bored at the exact moment that they were talking about children being...
drowned in the Rio Grande.
Yeah.
But somebody who only gets excited listening to himself mm-hmm. on TV.
This is my imagination of what politics is like in Canada. Just saying. Thoughtful, discussive, not dramatic, not... 140, 280 characters.
But I think that we do have to pause for a moment and just point out how awful it really is that the President of the United States, while he's on Air Force One, is commenting on a debate about incredibly important topics and issues that he's responsible for, and his only comment is boring.
Well, and not defending a record, even not that there is one, but a defending of a record. Let me finish his letters, and then I have two questions for the group here about the debate. One, Robin says Warren didn't light up the room, but she came off as the adult, the policy wonk. Booker eliminated Gabbard, and Gabbard eliminated the Ohio guy.
Uh-huh. Okay. Ohio guy.
The
Ryan.
Ohio guy.
There you go.
Jade wants to jump in on Fran's thought about winner and loser. She prefers achiever. or impressive mm-hmm. or policy-minded or prepared or convincing or intelligent or compelling or persuasive to winner and loser.
That's very awesome. Thank you, Jada.
Nice. Very nice. And Joe Mike from Kingston wrote an interesting letter. Three things I got out of the debate. One, Warren is a true contender. Two, a competent Democrat could have beat Ted Cruz. And three, Allen is completely right. Julian Castro just became a VP contender, and that's Mike from Kingston. Sorry for interrupting, Joe, but
that was the next letter I was going to read. I had it in my hand, but you—that's
cool.
Okay.
Cool.
Linda said, "I agree with Rosemary. De Blasio did wonderfully." Huh. I thought De Blasio started off okay, and then he started to bother me because he kept interrupting.
Yeah, he was very forceful in his articulation and interrupted people. I didn't like it.
Yeah, that's a style thing, and I criticized Elizabeth Warren for not being that. If she wins. She goes, and I would be happy if she were the contender. Mm-hmm. She's got to go against Trump, who is louder and bigger than those men she was up against last night. Mm-hmm. And I wanted her to step out more. But I'm contentious. I would have liked more sniping at Biden, more sniping at Warren, more sniping at Trump. And they were all on really good behavior. All the pundits told them they had to be good.
I loved those sniping.
I know. Everybody did. I know I'm in the minority on that.
But why? Okay.
Maybe not.
Sniping. Aside, and this was brought up right after the debate, and I have to say I agree with it. Why didn't the candidates go after President Trump more? Why didn't they say...
Well, they hardly mentioned him.
They hardly mentioned him. And I don't know, is that a good strategy this early? It seems to me that you're taking for granted that it seems to me we needed somebody up there to say, this perhaps is the worst president in the history of this country, and we have to do something about it.
There's an assumption that most people watching this, the care, already know that. And when you only have maybe 5 or 6 minutes to make your points on national television, this may be the only time you have this opportunity.
But 41% of the people are saying that they are still with this guy. I think you have to make the point.
But I think you also have to make your points about what it is you're bringing to the table.
It does not distinguish them, thinking that Trump is not a good president.
But Elizabeth
they're
Warren
running.
Would,
they have to really make their point about what does distinguish them. So I think they did the right thing.
I'm jumping in and I shouldn't. But Elizabeth Warren gave her end speech was all about her whole life story. She was born in Oklahoma and had no opportunity. Then she goes to community college. We've heard that before, too. Yeah.
Well,
was that really better than we need to get this guy out of office and I'm the person to
except
do it?
By the way, I think Rosemary's right. I think that the one thing that won the House of Representatives for the Democrats was the fact that Trump was the president. And I think that that is the one thing that people care about the most. And I think somebody missed the boat here.
Okay, just a foregone conclusion.
I'm going to comment on it, too, because I tend to disagree. I think, number one, Elizabeth Warren is not known in...
Outside of the Northeast.
And that's why she did sort of this introduction to the audience about her life and
Oklahoma.
Who she is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because people don't know that. They assume she's a Bostonian or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's why she did that.
It makes sense to me, Vera. But, if you're asking my reaction to it, it's like I was just wondering.
So
I'm hoping Biden will bring the game to
so
me. But
you know, I was reading it that way.
But it's a Democratic primary, and these Democrats have to find a way to distinguish themselves as the Democrat that can win the primary, and to spend their limited time talking about Trump, I think is a mistake at this point in time.
I disagree, and I think it's a matter of either or. You know, in other words, it isn't either or. You can identify yourself, and you can also attack the president, which he roundly deserves.
The president by suggesting policies that are in clear opposition of the behavior and conduct and direction this administration
has
taken.
They all did that.
And I think it was very clear. And the last thing I wanted is to think about Trump last night. I wanted to think about a future in America without Trump and get each candidate's ideas about the future of this country and not listen to another line about this miserable president we have.
Maybe that's why Trump found it boring, Vera.
Spoken like a true college professor, but on the other hand... But But on the other hand, I really think what this is all about is people's abject fear of Trump. And that's the way to win this election.
But this was their time to look better than each other. This wasn't their time to look better than Trump. I mean, they're going to have to do this for the whole
rest
of the
election. They all look better than Trump.
Yeah.
spoken like another true college professor.
But to me, it wasn't any more pointed than it would be at any other debate against any other president. And this isn't any other president.
Right. I agree.
This is Donald Trump. And I think you had to say and say this isn't normal and smack people and say, look, wake up. This is not what we deserve.
Well, you know what? The audience was woke on that issue. Let me just say.
Well,
that was ridiculous. I mean, everybody knows Trump is such a horrific leader.
Wait a minute. That debate was nationally televised, not just to Democrats. And 40% of this country is not woke. They do not think that.
They don't listen to this debate.
But look, when you're asked a complex question about where do you stand on Medicare for All, where do you stand on raising the tax rate, where do you stand on immigration, and you have 30 seconds to answer this question, the American people that are watching want to know your answer to that question. And to use that limited time to just attack the president is a very tricky thing to do.
Who said just attack?
Well, when you have 30 seconds, you have to make a choice.
I want
you
policy. I don't want another attack. I want policy, and I want to know where these people stand, and I want to know what vision they have for this country.
You can do it easily. In little phrases, journalists do all this time, compact a whole bunch of information in short phrases. My policy would be the opposite of Donald Trump, which is a mess, for example, and then continue.
Well,
and they didn't do that.
Rosemary.
Okay, Joe, let me know if I'm stepping on your toes.
No, you're not.
But
I'm
really interested in what people thought of Klobuchar. I thought she was interesting. And I found out a little bit more about her than I knew.
I thought it was interesting. I thought she was interesting, too. The one thing, she said it three times that I counted, that I was, because I started to pay attention. So then when I started to pay attention, I always assume it happened prior to that, which is why I start to pay attention. But obviously, the word on her early is that the whole thing with her staff and people had said that she was very mean and all of that. She said at least three times about how she's a uniter, she works with people, she's trying. And I thought that I don't know that I would have necessarily gone that way, because until she started to talk about it, I had kind of forgotten that was even an issue with her.
Good point,
Jill. Instead of just talking about what the issue of what the question was, whether it be about immigration.
I think she was really overshadowed. I'm appreciating that now as you try to get an edgewise into this conversation with a lot fewer candidates than last night. But she has some really good lines about, like, he's all foam and no beer. And when she shut down de Blasio, was saying, I'm the only one here who did this for women. And she pointed out snidely, there are at least three women here.
She had a couple of good lines, except if you have listened to Klobuchar before, several of those lines have been used over and over and over again. She was a little too folksy for me. I didn't like some of the one on women I liked, but I thought she was fairly bland.
Yeah, she was overshadowed.
I agree with Joe. That was not a smart move to bring up the issue of how she had treated her staff.
Yeah, I mean,
she should have stepped out maybe more on certain issues.
I do think Klobuchar did make a statement that was against the president. Made it very clear that he had pulled out of the Iran deal, and he promised us that he would get us a new deal, a better deal, and that he hasn't done that.
That's
I thought
true.
It was very good for her to point that out.
Yeah,
that's good.
She came across as experienced and thoughtful to me. I was, kind of impressed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we have letters, and we may even get to another subject. I'm not sure. We'll see what happens. We'll be right back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. And we're talking about the debate that took place last night in Miami, Florida, hosted by NBC. Just so everyone knows, we got a couple of letters and a couple of phone calls asking why we weren't running the debate. We can't, because it's an NBC's debate. So NBC affiliates were running it, and we are not an NBC affiliate. So simple as that. You can't buy it. You can't buy a John Deere lawnmower at a McDonald's. Yes.
And let me just add to that.
You
let
can't?
Me just add to that.
Interesting.
As the CEO of the joint, I don't mind if somebody says how come we couldn't hear it. That's perfectly legitimate.
Yes.
But when they speak with an outraged, condescending, "How dare you not play
yes.
it?"
Seriously, they say
that is not good. That is not good. And when I explain it, you would think you'd get an apology back, but you don't.
Maybe they didn't hear the answer.
Well, maybe they sent me something, and I sent them something back.
Oh yes, well, you know.
No, there was a little anger, and I thought,
yeah?
Well,
okay.
And we had talked about it, but it's important to know. I know we went through this in 2016 as well, of wondering why the various media outlets have the take on this, and
it's a fair question.
I believe that NPR they did the last time. I assume that they will have one of these debates, and we will run that. So
it's amazing, actually, how privatized a public debate like this is.
Well,
right?
this is what the internet is for. It's not just for cat videos and skateboarding squirrels. Just saying.
Although that's much better than many debates.
So we got a lot of letters. No matter whether it was on this radio station or not, a lot of people watched it. And Derek says, Julian Castro has been an impressive politician for some time now. Hillary considered him for VP in 2016. Mm-hmm. It's a shame he was largely ignored by the media up until now. Nevertheless, the more voters see him perform, the better he'll do.
I don't know if he was ignored. He's on cable TV every day. Yeah, he's not been ignored.
He was the keynote at the 2012 convention. I mean, I don't know. He's been out there. Martin, or Marty, as he allows me to call him, I think 2016 proved that Trump bashing is not an effective strategy. The hatred for him is already baked into the Democratic electorate. The candidates need to distinguish themselves with policy and charisma. Warren and Castro were great.
Well said.
Mm-hmm. Well, one other thing there, and that is that this election is not going to be won by the Democrats. It's going to be won by the people who are in the middle and who can go either way. And that's why it is so important to listen to the appeal that these folks have to independent voters. You know, I think that the left in the Democratic Party is pushing the envelope right now, and I understand it. Believe me, I do. On the other hand, I don't think that's what this is about. I think there's going to be a general election after this primary, and that's very important.
John writes, the best thing candidates could do was not mention Trump. The man craves attention. The worst thing he could do to a narcissist like Trump is pointedly ignore him.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Here. All right.
Nay.
I still think, though, again, I go back to what I said earlier. I still think that if you had taken that debate and you look at the transcript and compared it to any other presidential debate, it isn't the pointedness to the presidency. You're taking it for granted. And I don't think it speaks to the perilous times.
Well, can we also acknowledge that this is not a debate? This was not a debate. There's nothing about what happened last night that fits into any definition of a debate.
Correct.
It's a showcase. It's a forum.
Yeah,
it's an audition.
Candidates.
You know, one of the questions that Alan asks a lot, and it's a great question, is when somebody says something of you, okay, but what would you do? I don't know. How do you do a debate like that to me, the saddest thing about that is that every candidate running for the Democratic on the Democratic Party line isn't even allowed on the stage. That's not democracy. But also, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it correctly. I thought they did the best job they possibly could. They tried to keep them to their times. They certainly got to a lot of issues. Again, it's the first debate. I thought they did a nice job. And I know this is superficial, but you were talking about hair earlier, so I feel like I'm okay saying this. I thought NBC did. I thought the place looked great.
Yeah, but there were the technical issues, and that was a problem.
And also,
as someone who, I mean, Alan and I can certainly attest to, you know, you try your best, and sometimes things, technical problems happen. I don't know what you do.
Yeah, but,
I mean, the good thing
about
the technical
really
problems
high,
is they weren't debilitating. Sorry, Rosemary.
The president also tweeted about that, so they did take quite a bit of a knock for it.
Yeah, but I mean, have to go back to Terry's point. This was not a debate. Let's call it something else, because we should not mislead the American public to think that this is actually an opportunity to listen into a conversation between multiple candidates. Too many, and it was basically a few of them just got to say a couple of sentences, and I still have no idea who some of them are.
Yeah, I still get them confused, I understand. But there were clear differences that emerged. Healthcare, there's differences. Immigration, there's differences.
But it's an
climate,
audition.
There's...
That's
an audition. It's like you're asked a question and you respond as you would an audition for a Broadway show. There's no official rebuttal period. Not everyone gets to rebut, and the questions change in a random order. And one of the things that did bother me last
night. I love politics,
night,
but if you call it a Democratic audition, I'm not watching.
Well, right. I understand. No, I get that the marketing part of this requires that we call it a debate.
You're from MTV, for God's sakes.
I get it. I get that. One of the things that did bug me, though, and I was wondering if anybody else noticed this, I wish they had not changed.
I'm sorry.
I wish that they had not changed moderators. I wish they had kept the three moderators at the beginning all the way through, because when they switched to Rachel Maddow and that other guy, I can't remember his name, there was a momentum that was lost.
Yep.
The rhythm that they had developed was lost, and they had to kind of start all over again.
Yep.
And then with the technical issues, I think it threw it off too.
I thought that was okay. And it wasn't a debate. And we call it a debate. And is this in the first 100 things I worry about? No.
Yeah.
I mean
we
just
call it democracy too, but...
it's like, okay, how serious should we take this? And I don't know. Maybe not too seriously for me.
Rachel says, hello, Rosemary. Welcome back. So great to have you. Two comments. One, though not mentioning Trump was great, he is an egomaniac who loves hearing his name. Why give him oxygen? Two, Rachel Maddow was best at controlling the timing of the answers.
She was.
I hope she continues to moderate debates. Well, she will be doing tonight,
says
all the candidates.
Yeah, I like Maddow.
There was only one of, John said, I for one am glad they focused on issues versus a two-hour Trump bashing. Get the message out and save the bashing for later. I'm not saying they should have bashed.
The whole thing,
I'm not saying bash. I'm just saying point out that we are, because again, all we worried about, all that was worried about after the 2016 election is that this behavior would be normalized. And by not calling it out, to me, you are giving into that normalization.
Yes.
But Patricia says, you missed the most significant statement key to all our futures from Governor Inslee. We are the first generation to feel the sting of climate change, and we are the last generation that can do something about it. That was a great line.
Yes.
The science is clear. We have a short period of time to act. Whether we shrink from this challenge or rise to it is the biggest question we face. And of course, that's his issue, and he did a good job.
You gotta love anyone who mentions science during the Democratic
and that was
yes,
a very
you do,
yes,
Brad.
You do.
That was a very important contribution. Absolutely. Yes. I think we all agree on that.
Catherine says, I agree with Fran about winners and losers. It is early in the race for one. The ones who do less well, like Beto, may winnow themselves out, and the ones who shine can do so necessarily having to undercut or attack the others. After so many years of ugly competition, which Trump has taken to new levels, I think many Democrats would be totally turned off if the candidates go after each other. I keep thinking of them as a composite of the ideal nominee. Let me ask this question in the few minutes before we go to the top, and that is this idea. I know this has been said many times, but now that we've had our first debate, another one tonight, of course, because there are so many candidates, people have said, well, I wish these senators would actually stay in the Senate. Some of the senators who are running for president would stay in the Senate. We need them in the Senate. How do you feel about that now?
Absolutely correct. And there's a real question in my mind as to what in the world they think they're doing. This is crazy stuff. Unless it's just that your mother told you were going to be president, and when you were first elected dog catcher, and you know this is your shot, and you're going to go for it. It makes no sense at all. When the main thing in life right now for the Democrats is to take the Senate.
I think that if you're in the Senate and you feel as if the work you're doing is not making the kind of contribution that you think you could make with your skill set, and you think that your leadership skills could do more for the country in an executive position, and you have the ability to step out and try, why not?
I was in favor.
I'll tell you why not, because you got to think of the greater good. That's why not.
Rosemary?
Well, I thought that Elizabeth Warren is a fabulous senator, and I didn't want her to leave. That was my initial stand. But she's made a very good case that she has more than just the Senate.
Yes.
And so I'm glad that she's running. Beto O'Rourke is interesting. I'm not sure I want him in the Senate now.
Well, he has to get experience somehow. Okay, maybe he may or may not need to start in the Senate, but, you know... I mean, yeah. I think there's a trajectory for him, but he shouldn't jump to the end and, like, be president.
Yeah. I thought that about Nixon. I thought that about Trump, definitely. You know, start out something small. Like, Board of Education,
Do some hard things.
No, but he was, I don't think his problem is experience. He was on the city council in El Paso before he went to Congress. He's had experience. This isn't about experience. This is just about him. This is his personality. He was not equipped to answer the questions that he was asked last night. And I don't think that goes to experience. It just goes to what his focus is and the way he thinks through these processes.
But you can't jump from city council to president. I mean, it just seems to me the kind of experience you need with a whole slew of things you're not going to be dealing with as a city council.
So can you jump from mayor to president?
Well, maybe not. It's hard to say.
Can you jump from reality TV star to president? The answer is yes.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, but you know, look at these folks, you know, their own politics notwithstanding.
we
all want an outsider. Well, many people want an outsider in Washington, but the fact is, it's a really, really complex system.
President Obama was a state legislator, then a one-term senator.
Then just a one-term senator. And, you know, arguably, I'm sure we'll get letters on this one, you know, he may have been better, especially at the beginning, with more experience.
Yes,
but as Alan always says, and I learned it from him. But you strike when the iron is hot, when you have your shot, and he took it and he got it right.
Yeah, but you do have to do a little bit more homework. I think Beto O'Rourke did not do enough homework. He was not prepared to respond to Julian Castro. He did not have details ready. He didn't know how to.
Oh, to see the Texans go after each other, that wasn't good.
I mean, do you want a surgeon who, you know, just got their degree and is going to do their first 100 surgeries? Do you want a pilot, you know, who just learned how to fly and is now, you know, their first things? You know, maybe I'm more comfortable, and it's just my opinion, with somebody who's seen some catastrophic scenarios and has a little more experience.
That whole outsider, someone different bringing change thing is so dangerous in American politics. What's wrong with experience and seniority? Why has that become a bad thing?
We do have a reality TV star in the executive branch as president right now.
Exactly.
So I think we've done the outsider thing.
Yeah, let's go back.
And, you know, actually, just President Trump. His entire cabinet is dominated by outsiders and people that have no expertise.
Rookies.
Just look at his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, you know, and the grandiose plan for the Palestinians. I mean, you just want to scratch your head.
That doesn't mean you have to be the world's biggest crony either, by the way. That's not what I'm suggesting, is that you're so entrenched in the system that you love the system, but you have to know the system to change the system.
We really have to take a break.
Yes.
I'm sorry. And we will do that, and we'll be back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan Chartok, Terry Gibson, Rosemary Armeo, Fran Berman, and Vera Acarias-Kelly making up our panel. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. We have letters. Let's go to those and see where they take us. Linda says, although I'll probably vote for Warren, I was impressed by Klobuchar and Gabbard. They had good stage presence and strong voices. Klobuchar especially had audience connection. She did have that. She did connect with the audience.
Yeah.
Remember, image does count. That from Linda.
And hair.
Another. There we go.
We got beaten up for that one.
We do like
well,
the hair.
To be fair, Rosemary got beat up for that one. Linda says, while watching the debate, one of the things I was thinking of was how each candidate would handle a debate with Trump. I love Elizabeth Warren, and I think she would be a wonderful president, but I felt like the men on the stage drowned her out much of the time. Sad to say, I think Trump would just steamroll over her on a debate stage.
That's Rosemary.
But the question is, does it really matter the second time around? Because everybody now says, Trump is, you know, rude, you know, that's his strategy. Will people really buy into it again?
Again, Vera, everybody is not right. 40% think he's great.
But 40%, wait. But 40% somehow distributed in the right amounts, Rosemary, won the election.
That's what I'm saying.
Why don't we just stop running any women then and just get bullies up there?
Women have to learn how to bully better.
Well, I don't think women can bully effectively because they don't
names.
Have exactly they'll
yeah,
get called
bossy.
Names. Then they
women
are
can
you
bully
know,
effectively, Vera. Let's just stop there.
Well, I mean, I just think with Trump, it's a really difficult thing if we expect a woman to fill that role to counteract him in the same style. A woman has to use her own style to get under his skin.
Warren has problems with this, Vera, and the Pocahontas thing was proof of that.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
gave
that
into
was
it
a problem.
Was a
yeah.
misstep. She
yes,
has problems with that.
So yes. Anne asks a similar question, but there is just a little twist here that I want to get to. I know it should not matter, but I can't help worrying about who will be able to go up against Trump in a debate. Does the Democrat have to debate him? Your thoughts? So, I mean, obviously you would want, I think, for democracy's sake, to have a presidential debate between the Democratic nominee and the Republican nominee and a third-party candidate, if that is the case. However, this idea of who would be best, I mean, should that be something that we put into our thought pattern while choosing a candidate to think of somebody who...
Well, we didn't in 2016, did we?
That's why I asked the question.
This is an interesting question that the writer has written, and I'm thinking this through. It wouldn't surprise me, based on the pattern we've seen so far, that for the first time in recent history, we have a president who refuses to debate anyone. Let's see what happens as we get closer and closer, and let's see if Trump actually says, "I'm not going to debate."
Yeah, because
I couldn't disagree more. He's going to debate. He thinks it's his long suit. He thinks he did it last time, and he's going to replicate his strength in his own mind.
Well,
he's going to do it.
I'm going to disagree with you because. No. I think he might just decide that his style is to rally people, to hold speeches, these rambling rally speeches, and he might just decide that's more effective. So I'm with Terry.
He's
on that.
Broken with tradition on everything. Every single thing he's broken with. Why not that?
Well, don't be with Terry because he's just wrong. And
all
gonna
morning
tell you
I'm wrong.
I'm going to tell you right now, he is going to do what he considers to be his strong point. He is generally regarded to have been a bully, but to have won the debates, and he is not going to eschew that.
Alan, that's where I think Terry has a really interesting thought, because if you think about what Trump excels at, you know, the tweet storm, name-calling, you know,
he'll do
all
both.
Of that. It's just sort of a thoughtful discussion of the issues. It's not his thing.
Well, Professor...
yes, Professor.
He will do it. He is going to. There's no question that he will debate.
I think Alan's right. Yeah. He's not going to ignore that national stage, a chance to get out and go one-on-one against an opponent that he thinks he's better than.
I think it's too early to say. It depends on who the nominee is, and it depends on where we are. But
let's make bets.
I think you're wrong.
He has broken tradition every opportunity, and he's going to keep doing that. I worry about him even leaving the office when he loses the election. I still worry about
that. Alan, as the former professor, accuses the rest of us to be professors. I'm not quite sure what to say to that.
Did you see that he did tweet, to Terry's point about him even leaving office, during the debate he tweeted that weird meme of him showing of Trump. It was the signs of Trump 2016, Trump 2020, Trump 2024, and then it went up to like 2050, and it just kept on showing him. He tweeted that.
Trump the dictator, I guess, was the message.
He is going to do everything he can to stay in that office, legal or illegal, and probably illegal.
Wow.
Can you imagine if we have an unclear outcome of the next election, if there's horrible meddling by the Russians or some kind
or
of Florida situation with the hanging chads, and then Trump is going to say, "I was reelected," and he's going to use all means possible to stay in power.
Just like all dictators
horrible.
Have. Look
this
at the history of all dictators.
Facing.
All I dictators mean, break yeah. tradition and say, "I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to play by the rules." This is why I think... Yep. Expecting him to play by the rules on anything is not realistic.
With this guy, anything is possible.
Well, we can all agree on that.
We agree.
All right, we've reached agreement, so we're going to move on to other stories. Let's do that. Why don't we? So the Senate approved a $4.6 billion bill for the border with fewer restrictions. What does that mean? I don't know. It's emergency humanitarian aid for the southwestern border, rejecting House legislation approved on Tuesday that sought to rein in President Trump's immigration crackdown by setting much stronger conditions for how the money could be spent.
Well, what it means, I think, Joe, I'm sorry for interrupting, but what it means is that the Senate knows that they cannot go along with this president on this. They've got to do something, and they've got to do a different thing than the House of Representatives has done, and they're going to make it that way. So that's all that it means. They don't want to do anything, but they have to do something, and it's got to be different from what the House does, and they say, well, we wash our hands of it.
Speaker Pelosi rejected the Senate's bill even before the vote was taken, setting up a clash over immigration policy just days before Congress leaves Washington for a week-long July 4th recess. So, Rosemary, what do you think?
I think that Pelosi and Trump and the Senate leaders are going to work out an agreement that will be acceptable to all. I don't think the bills are not so far off that they will let it go like gun legislation, that they'll actually come up with something that's humanitarian, because they all look bad.
Yeah, I think they're going to work out an agreement, too. But I do think that this is a conversation and a fight worth having. And I think Nancy Pelosi understands that the real difference here is, are we going to have a bill that allows us to hold those who are running these detention camps, those who are actually controlling things at the border, which is mostly private corporations that are doing this? Are we going to have the power to regulate them and oversee them, or are we just going to give that power away? And that's really what they're fighting over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I think it's worth
having that discussion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just to be clear, there's sort of two things to think about. First of all, the eventual bill, I think Pelosi and the Democrats will want to sort of optimize their chances to do well with it. I mean, that goes without saying. But the differences between the bills are really kind of devil in the details kinds of things. It's like, how much policy should there be? It's like, where does the money get distributed? You know, does it go to the State Department or the Defense Department or Department of Homeland Security? And that varies a little bit between the Senate and the House bills. And I think people are going to be looking for some sort of harmonization of those bills that both optimize the Democrats' chance to use that, and Republicans as well, and also, you know, tries to get at those key things.
The breaking news just in, that the Supreme Court rules the federal courts have no role in policing partisan redistricting.
Not good.
Absolutely predictable, because that court is now a Republican court, and this is what you're going to get. On the other hand, Felix Frankfurter said, remember him, folks? All those years ago, he said, the courts have to stay out of the political thicket, when he first ruled on this very question.
The justices agreed to look at the issue after lower courts determined the congressional maps in North Carolina and Maryland were so politically tilted that they violated voters' rights. The North Carolina map was drawn by Republicans, the Maryland district by the state's dominant Democrats. And now the Supreme Court says federal courts don't have a role in deciding partisan gerrymandering claims. So we'll hear more on that as becomes available.
They basically just legalized gerrymandering.
Absolutely. Legalized an anti-democratic effort. In other words, we are supposed to be a democracy. We send our kids to fight for democracy. We said, isn't it terrible what they're doing in these other countries? And then we say, yeah, if you have a little control, you can do anything you want.
And by the way, as I've said before, this is a problem that can be solved by math. I mean, you can take the distribution of people across the country and you can draw up districts, you know, with various reasonable criteria. You can do this by an algorithm.
So why don't we do it?
Well, because there's no political benefit in it.
Mm-hmm. Not for the ruling party.
Yeah,
and
the math that we use to do this is about to be altered, too, because the next ruling we're going to see is the one that rules in on how the census is done.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is where all the math comes from.
Which is the input to the algorithm.
Right. Right.
I have a strange feeling on that one. I think that, by the way, that's coming out today also, apparently.
Yes.
But I have a strange feeling on that one, that the gerrymander was the one that they really, really wanted to stay in power. And so, therefore, I think they may take a pass on the census.
Mm. That'll be interesting.
We have, did you want to say something?
Well, I just wanted to go back to where we started with the border issue and that bill, because I'm thinking, you know, finally we have at least some discussion going after these horrible pictures of the father and his child being found dead in the Rio Grande, which is, by the way, very similar to the image of Alan Kurdi, the little three-year-old Syrian Kurdish boy who was found on the Mediterranean, on the Turkish coast. Yeah, so, I mean, this is an issue that is internationally of great importance, because nothing the Europeans or the North Americans are doing is effectively addressing any of these migratory patterns. Mm-hmm. We are not dealing with the actual underlying problems, which is truly disturbing. Now, will this bill in any way, the way it goes through, really address the question of who arrives on the border? Not really. It will be a Band-Aid approach once again. It might address some of the most miserable conditions in those detention centers, which should be, of course, improved. But in the end, 6 months from now, will we be in a different position or a year from now? Not really. We know that already.
Mm-hmm. We have 5 minutes, and we have a lot of letters that we didn't get to, so let me try to get to as many as we possibly can. Most of these are about the debate from last night. Marilyn says, I agree with Alan and would go further about candidates running for president who currently hold office. If they're serious about running, they should resign the office to which they were elected and honor the constituents who elected them. Joan says, when asked what the biggest threat to America is, de Blasio said Trump, and I agreed with him and was glad that he said it, and he was the only one. Louise says, the bottom line, I think sending a strong message of solidarity among all the Democratic candidates is for them to make a pact. Every one of them should say, I'll stand behind whoever the American people pick as their candidate, period. This is what didn't happen last time and contributed to the loss.
Here, here.
I thought they tried that. And everybody agreed except for Sanders.
Yeah. Here, here. Yeah. That's a great letter. Yeah.
I think even how do you make it happen?
In other words, some guy is sitting at home and say, well, you know, Hillary was bad to Sanders, and therefore I'm never going to vote for Hillary. And we've certainly heard a lot of that. You can't say, because even if you got Sanders to say everybody should go in the right direction, which I think he did.
Not strongly.
Yeah, he waited too long to say that.
Way too long. And he stayed in the race long after it was evident he was going to lose. That hurt her.
Rick says, Elizabeth Warren will lose the electoral vote worse than Hillary. Once Trump starts with his anti-woman Native American slurs, John Delaney impressed me as someone who was virtually unknown but reasonable. Tracy said, I don't think Klobuchar did well. I think she came off too polite with raising her hand, trying to get a word in, instead of just forcing her way in to make a point, as the men and Warren did. Out of all the candidates last night, Warren won me over.
Well, that's a tough one, because as our female wonderful panelists have pointed out any number of times, it works two ways. If the female, as opposed to the male, injects herself and really fights for it, then she's going to be criticized with the B word. And that is terrible. But that's the way it is.
Well, I mean, I would distinguish between, I think Elizabeth Warren was fairly assertive and she got her policies across, and I really appreciated her conduct. Yep. I thought Klobuchar seemed overly polite, maybe too compliant in terms of her conduct. She was so focused on appealing to the middle that I felt she was not really advancing her position very strongly in several
ways.
And
by the way, these are not gender-based. Beto did all of the same behaviors.
Exactly.
So it's
that's the whole point. Men can get away with it. Women cannot.
Well, I think there are ways in which women get away with it. Now, of course, nobody gets away with behavior like Trump. Trump is a sort of a unique animal because Trump does because he's a, you know, let's not, well, you know, fill in the blank of how you would describe his conduct. Egocentric for sure, you know, but I think for women there is a way to be assertive without being overly aggressive. To be labeled as, you know, as like
I don't think women, by and large, have figured that out.
Well, I don't know. I think if you look at Margaret Thatcher, she was pretty aggressive.
I've worked for a lot of assertive women, so I think it can be done. I know it can be done.
Connie?
None of them are president.
Connie says, I'd love to hear what you think about the question asked by the moderators, particularly the question about dealing with Mitch McConnell. I thought that was a great question.
I thought it was a good question, too.
I thought it was great. I don't think anybody had a really great answer.
No.
But
well, the great answer was to take the Senate. That was the great
answer. Yeah, that was a great answer.
But I think that's I think that was a great question.
Was it Booker that said that we have to find a candidate to beat him in Kentucky, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the guy is basically spending his career being a brick wall. You know, what are you going to do when you see a brick wall?
I'll just let that hang in the air for a moment.
Okay.
All right. final letter, and we have a lot, so I'm just going to try to pick one. Oh, I'll pick this one. Alan, you're right about the amount of presidential candidates.
You picked well.
What it indicates is that the DNC has lost control of this process. All right. That is it for today. Programming note, tomorrow we're going to be broadcasting live from the from Tanglewood, from the brand new Lindy Center. And we're going to be broadcasting tomorrow from Lenox. And we'll have, we do that twice a year. And tomorrow is our first broadcast from there. And we are very excited. So we'll be doing that. We will have a discussion. We have some wonderful journalists will be joining us. We will have a discussion about the debate and other things to start off the show. But that's what we'll be doing tomorrow. My thanks to Terry and Rosemary and Fran and Vera and, of course, Alan. We'll thank you very much.
Have a great day, everyone.
We'll be right back.